Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Amen. So this morning, I am excited. We started a series out of the book of Acts in 1948. Haven't missed much. After, I don't know how many years that would be. Yeah, a lot of years. This morning, in Jesus' name, we're going to conclude. I've enjoyed the book of Acts. It's been outstanding. It's been great. I've absolutely loved it. And last week, we touched into Acts 27 and just the first six verses of chapter 28. But I just want to just do a quick context for where we are in this story. We've had a fabulous time in it. We've been looking primarily at towards the back end of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul is featured prominently. We have read into where he's been, how he's got to where he was. He had an encounter with Jesus, headed to a city, and radically changed, amazingly changed. And where it's been the last few weeks is he was arrested in Jerusalem. It was a massive riot. They tried to kill him. And the Romans rescued him, which is kind of a funny thing. The Romans rescued Paul from the religious people. That doesn't sound right. But it happened. After he was arrested in Jerusalem, he moved up the coast to a city called Caesarea, where he was there for 2 years. Then he began a journey. He was headed to Rome, and that was the word that God had spoken to Paul. You will testify about me before kings, Gentiles, governors, big shots all over the world, known world at that time. And he knew, I am headed to Rome. That was God's promise to him. As he ventured out into the Mediterranean, last couple of weeks, we looked at there was a massive storm called a Northeaster. Guess which direction it came from? It's not complicated. Violent storm, and they were basically buffeted by a storm for 2 weeks. Kind of puts Gilligan's Island in perspective. 2 weeks. And God spoke to him. Angels appeared to him on the ship, and they were all saved. And they were put shipwrecked onto an island called Malta, which we talked about last week. And there, we're going to pick it up here, just at the very beginning of the story. When Acts 28, verse 4 through 30, we're going to look at this morning. When the islanders on the Isle of Malta saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. And there you have humanity. You're a murderer. Nope. You must be a really good person. We'll make you king. Just, we've learned, if we've lived enough years, not to live or want to live on the accolades of people's opinions, because it does change with the wind. Aren't you glad that God's opinion of us never changes? We're a child, we're a son, we're a daughter, we're prized. Whether we have a great day, a bad day, Jesus looks at us still with adoring eyes, the apple of his eye, and he says, you're my child, you're my child of promise. Again, whether we've had the most horrific week, whether I had a bad, my wife never has bad attitudes because she's not here. If I have the worst attitude, horrible week, I can boldly, confidently enter into his presence knowing that I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, I'm approved. My relationship with Jesus is not based on right doing or wrong doing. It's based on what he did on the cross.
Amen.
And he loves me and he forgives me. Mm-hmm. And that's relationship with the King. And it's so different from what the world has to offer. Especially in the business world, it's all about numbers and sales and productivity. And Jesus says, no, I love you because I love you. I love you because you're you. And this man, Paul, he was a violent man. He was passionate. That is one word I think could describe his whole life. But he was a passionate man, and for a good percentage of his life, his passion was directed in all the wrong ways. He put women and children in prison. He had people killed. Paul was not a nice man. But then he encountered Jesus. Jesus changed his heart. And that's what God offers all of us. He changes from the inside out. Not just to do good things, but now I get the opportunity to love people because I've been loved. I get to forgive people because I've been forgiven. And this man, Paul, even though it was just the last few chapters where he was prominent in the book of Acts, it's such a beautiful testimony of what Jesus does with me and you. Mm-hmm, yeah. Takes all our ugly and he changes it into something beautiful.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you, Isaac. I know people got excited when you walked in. Isaac's preaching this morning, sorry. Another week. Next time. Sorry to disappoint.
I was ready.
I know you are. If you don't know, this is Isaac Little. We've been friends, I don't know, 40 years. And the man is a pastor, and the man can preach. They don't say that when I'm up here. We love you, my friend. I'm trying. So that was, we finished in Acts 6 last week, and now we pick it up Acts 7, and we'll conclude this chapter this morning. Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word. I thank you that your heart is to communicate your heart to us, that we would see you accurately. Jesus, that we would see you as you really are, that we wouldn't make you small Jesus and a big devil and a small Jesus and a scary world, but that we would see you, Jesus, as the King of glory.
Yeah. Amen.
Ruler over everything, risen, champion, king. And Lord, as we look through your word, Jesus, whether it's in a shipwreck, a venomous snake that's shaken off into a fire, whether it's challenging things that happen to people in the Bible, Lord, we know you're a good God. And you want to communicate heaven to us through the scripture. So, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us this morning see you in the Word of God. That it wouldn't just be stories and words on a page, but we would catch your heart, Jesus, for your people, for me, for us. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Verse 7 of chapter 28. There was an estate, so now they're on Malta. Again, the snake came out of a brush pile attached to Paul's hand. And so the villagers decide, oh, Paul must be a good guy. And so now we pick it up. They're on the Isle of Malta, and they're still going to be headed up to Rome in a few months, but we'll pick it up in verse 7. On Malta, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home. Remember, it's Aristarchus, Luke, and Paul are the three Christians amongst all these prisoners and Roman citizens that have been shipwrecked. Verse 8, his father, the chief official, his father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Ew. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. This is an amazing guy. He's in shackles. He's a prisoner. And wherever he goes, he brings life. Just like me and you.
Amen.
No matter good day, bad day, everywhere we go, we bring Jesus into the situation. I love this guy. Paul is simply amazing. Verse 10. They honored us, the people on the island, they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Isn't this amazing? Paul's been shipwrecked. He's just had 2 weeks seasick. Can you imagine how sick you'd be? 2 weeks in the worst storm, just being driven along. And now you washed up ashore in Cancun and you're in a resort and it's nice days. That's kind of what he's got. Everything is horrific. And now it's like, oh, you're giving us all this stuff. Remember, I mentioned last week, Malta now is a beautiful kind of beached area. Multi-gajillionaires go to Malta now to vacation. That's where Paul was shipwrecked. I don't think he saw it quite that at the time. But still, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Verse 10, they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. And the next day, the south wind came up. And on the following day, we reached Petolia. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, Christians. And so we came to Rome. It's been years now. He's been waiting to get to Rome. Verse 15, and I love the tone here that the writer of Acts, Luke, uses. The brothers and sisters there at Rome had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. In it, I love the detail, the three taverns. Why would you put that in there? I love it. My wife and I lived in England, and they have the weirdest names for pubs and taverns and restaurants. I feel like I'm traveling back into England here. And the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Now, you think, okay, so they came down from Rome and to greet him. The distance is over 40 miles one way. They didn't have trains. They didn't have cars. They didn't have Uber drivers. So these people heard Paul. The amazing Paul is coming. So they traveled 40 miles, walked 40 miles. How many days would that take? Lauren. Well, Lauren. Holly.
Long time.
Yeah. Holly, when's the last time you walked 40 miles?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Even combined whole life?
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay. In your whole life, clearly you've walked 40 miles. They walked 40 miles to do what? Just to greet Paul. It's what you do when an emperor comes, or Kurt Warner, Super Bowl champion. Oh, we're going to go out and we'll roll out the red carpet. It's Paul. And for him to understand, you walked how far? Just to say hi? I think, why would they do that? Because several years before, Paul, while he was in a city called Corinth, had written a letter to some of the people in Rome. Now, what do you think we would know that letter as?
Romans.
Romans. That amazing letter that we now read, that so many people are like, oh my gosh, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Romans. That's what these people received earlier, a few years before. And they're like, oh my gosh, the writer of that letter, of course they didn't know it as the Bible at the time. Like, that guy is coming to Rome? He changed my life. He's amazing. And so they walked 40 miles one way just to greet him. I would have been sitting at home. Say, let me know when he gets close. Isn't it amazing the impact we have on people? Mm-hmm. This he had done years before. And I tell you, as sure as we're sitting here, you're going to see people in heaven. You had no idea what your one encounter did with them. One encounter. Years before, that lady at the restaurant, you tipped her $50 on a $30 bill. You tipped her $50 and told her about Jesus. You have no idea the people we're going to see in heaven. Just one encounter, how it changed someone's life. All we have to do is give what we have. And Paul gave his revelation. He wrote a letter. Anybody ever write letters anymore? I know that's kind of old school. Look, Jeannie's taking notes. Thank you, Jeannie. Years before, he wrote a letter. Verse 16. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Now, Rome is a city at the time. It would have been like Paris, London, Tokyo, L.A., New York, not Austin. Massive cities it would have been like, no, there was no city on earth like Rome. And Paul, his whole life, has heard of Rome. He's a Roman citizen, remember, in the story. And his whole life, he's like, think of Rome. It's so finally, he's walking into Rome, and he's seeing this palace. He's seeing this building. Can you? It's breathtaking. Rome at this time had 2 million people, the size of Metro St. Louis area. You think, well, that's not that big. At the time, a city of 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 was considered a mega city. Tens of thousands, mega city. But Rome is 2 million people, and there's no competition. There's no other city on the face of the earth like it. And so as he steps in the city, even Paul would have been like, oh my gosh, mama told me about that. Oh my gosh, I read stories about this. It would have been breathtaking to walk into Rome. It was the center of the universe at that point. Been like, if you have children, if you're blessed to have children, remember the first time you took your kids to Disneyland? And they're like, oh, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse. I hate Disneyland. We're not going to Disneyland. But you get the idea. He's had all these promises. You're going to go and speak to Caesar. You're going to Rome. And as a Roman citizen, it is the one of the quintessential moments of his entire life. Oh, my gosh. I'm actually walking into Rome. The sheer opulence of it would have been breathtaking for all that anybody knew in the known world at that time. Verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders, which was his custom. As we read in all the other chapters, when Paul went into a city first, what did he do? He went to the synagogue. He met immediately with the Jewish people. Usually they beat him almost to death after a few days. But that was exactly what he did. And he did the same thing here. But this is slightly different because he's arrested. He goes into a rental house. So he calls the Jewish leaders to himself because he wants to influence the city. It's the same MO. The man just does not change. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. And when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans." I love Paul's design and desire to include people. He doesn't say, "you people." He says, "brothers." He identifies with them. "I'm a Jew also. I haven't lost my Jewishness." Yeah. "I haven't lost my Jewishness." Why? Because he wants to connect with people. He doesn't want to alienate them. See, "you guys are missing it. Let me tell you." No, he says, "my brothers, my brethren." What kind of connection am I looking with people in the world? Am I using inclusive language or exclusive? When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "my brothers." They're not Christians. They're Jews at this point. "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people." He's not attacking. He's not complaining. He's not saying those horrible Jewish people. They're my people, our people. Why? Because he wants to win people. Again, when I'm meeting with people in the world, am I using language that's sweet, that's kind, that's with them, as opposed to arrogance or condescending or "you're not good enough"? "For this reason," verse 20, "for this reason I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel." Again, he's ringing every one of their bells. What are they all looking for? The hope, the Messiah. Every Jewish person is looking for the Messiah. He's ringing their bells. He understands the language that is going to bring them in as opposed to repel them. He gets there, but at this point he's bringing them in. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. Verse 21, they replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. I bet Paul had to go like this. Because everywhere he went, he got beat. So good news for Paul at this point. We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. And none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. Paul would have been like, good. Keep going. But we want to hear what your views are. Talk about giving candy to a child. If there's one person that wants to express what his views are, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But we want to hear what your views are. For we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect, meaning Christians. They understood, we don't know a ton about it. We don't know what your views are. But all the Jewish people are decrying, are denouncing, are against this sect, this new thing called Christians. Verse 23, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to a place where he was staying. Remember, he's under house arrest. He witnessed to them from morning till evening. Yeah, wow. You think this sermon's long. He witnessed to them. You remember the story about Eutychus? Earlier in the story, in the book of Acts, where Paul preached all night long, and this poor young kid fell asleep up on the windowsill, fell down, no problem, he's dead, we'll raise him from the dead, no problem. And Paul continued until the morning. I read this and I see this, the humor of God, and I don't think Paul struggled for words. He witnessed to them from morning till evening. As I was reading this, I thought, Lord, increase my capacity to hear the word.
That's good.
Thank you, Isaac. I tried. You know, I go to different conferences, and it's true, I'm not arguing the fact of what I'm about to say, that people's attention span used to be this, and now it's smaller. And it's not an indictment. It's simply the culture in which we live. My wife and I call it the microwave. 30 seconds, it better be done. It better be hot. It better be ready. And as I read this, I think, what if, Lord, if you just increase my capacity to hear the word of God, increase my capacity for the presence of God. One thing I've heard about our church here, because it was shorter this morning. If you're new, it was shorter. Slightly. You guys worship forever. Why do you sing so many songs? Why do you sing so long? That's a good question. But when I read in the book of Revelation, the worship never ends.
Amen.
Never ends. Why? Because there's a people who see him as he really is.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
So when I hear this, he went on all day long. Oh my gosh, brevity, please. What if the opposite is a possibility for me? Lord, increase my capacity for your presence. Increase my capacity for the word. Now, I will admit there's a difference between Paul and most speakers. I'll give you that. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. It's funny, no mention of taking an offering. That was free. And a little bit of an oxymoron, free offering, never mind. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them all about Jesus. And again, I find challenge in that. Go to the Old Testament and prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Could you do that? As I look at that, I'm like, I would go to all my Gospels, if I'm going to witness to somebody, you know, John, all those beautiful Gospel stories. Paul is proving Jesus is the Messiah from the Old Testament. The man knew the word of God. I think there's power available there. All day, Paul taught and talked. Verse 24. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. Now listen, remember he's using inclusive words. He's, you know, my brothers, the hope of Israel. He's using inclusive language. Now Paul turns and does a Paul thing. I don't think Paul was all that interested in tickling ears. This is what he said to the Jewish leaders in Rome. Verse 25, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. I don't think he met Joel Osteen. Needs to win friends, influence people. I'm not sure Paul was adept at that quite yet. Verse 27, and that's not a shot at Joel Osteen. I love Joel Osteen. Love him. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. And they have closed their eyes. What an indictment. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. That probably would have been the most inflammatory thing that you could have said to these Jewish leaders. You're out, but the Gentiles, the non-believers, will listen to the truth about your Messiah. For two whole years, verse 30, for two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. Verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You think, why would he say that? Because he's in chains. He's under house arrest. But one of the beautiful things about this man is it doesn't matter whether he's on one of his three missionary journeys, traveling around the world in absolute freedom, whether he's on a ship for 14 days with 256 people, wherever he is, he's bringing Jesus. Whatever condition, whatever position in life he's in, this man is proclaiming Jesus. Paul's life is not wasted, no matter where he is in life. Where are you in life? What season are you in life? You might have so many challenges, so overwhelming, whether they're financial, whether they're relational. Paul was determined, no matter what position I find in life, whether he's bruised, battered, attacked, Paul says, I'm going to proclaim Jesus wherever I go. He ended up staying in Rome under house arrest for 2 years. And the Caesar that he was appealing to happened to be a guy named Nero. Now, how many people in here like history? How many people liked history in school? Okay, 13. That's not everybody. If you knew a little bit or remembered a little bit about history, there was some protagonists to the church. And Nero would have been maybe the one who hated the church. And Nero was the Caesar. And Nero was Caesar for 14 years. He became Caesar through a messy, just ugly way. He was Caesar for 14 years. He was emperor of the world, the known world, for 14 years. And Paul said earlier, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. I don't know if you want to appeal to that Caesar. Nero was famous for killing Christians. Nero was famous for, if you had a nice death, he was just going to crucify you. Because Nero was famous for setting Christians while they're alive on fire. He seemingly delighted in torturing believers. And so when Paul says, I want to appeal to Caesar, I'm like, I don't know if that's where you want to make your appeal. But Paul went to Rome, and historians will tell you, he lived there for 2 years, and he actually did appear before Nero and was set free after 2 years. Set free. Now later in Nero's span of leading, he wanted to do some renovations in Rome. And so allegedly, many historians would agree, he actually started a fire to create space in Rome for some of his new palaces that he wanted. And he ended up blaming the Christians. Once the fire went out of control, he blamed the Christians for it. And massive persecution went out against the church, all under this emperor named Nero, the same emperor that Paul had appealed to. So he went before Nero, and this is where Acts 28 stops, and you have to search history to come up with the other information about him. He was released for 2 years, and most people believe he went to Spain, was rearrested in Spain, was sent back to Nero, and ultimately was beheaded. And that's how that man's life concluded. But as I look at Paul, he's one of the heroes in the Word of God for me. I think this guy, what is up with this man? How do you keep going? The tenacity, the passion, the relentless pursuit. I don't understand it. When I look at him, I think he's some kind of superhero. You know, the Marvel comic guy. How do you do that, Paul? Why would you do that? Why would you continue battering your head against the wall, and seemingly everywhere you go, all you do is go into pain? In fact, Paul actually describes some of the experience in the book of Corinthians. Again, very famous passage of scripture. Let me flip to it. 2 Corinthians 11. This is Paul's life. And he's describing into this letter that he, the second letter, actually probably the fourth letter, but the second recorded letter to the church in Corinth. Paul's defending his apostleship, his authority, his reason for saying, I'm the father of this church. In 2 Corinthians 11, 22, the scripture says this. Actually, it's the Corinthians. I think Noah, I probably have the verse, but if you can flip up the 2 Corinthians 11 verse. Paul says this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. And that was not as a going into prison ministering to the prisoners. He was incarcerated himself. Been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Math gets me there. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Anybody here having a bad day? When you read this, it puts perspective. Well, I got persecuted at church and they didn't give me the job. I got, even worse, I got persecuted at work and they didn't give me the job. It's not fair. Anybody ever in your mind, because we're mature, we don't say the words out loud. Anybody ever had a tendency to say it's not fair on the inside? Isaac, you me. Life isn't fair. How am I going to respond to what life throws at me? Because life isn't fair. And my challenge is, I've been a Christian 45, 47 years. I expect the world to treat me poorly. I really do. My pain is what happens in the church. That's my pain. I could cry. I'm not going to. My pain is when it happens believers to believers. And this church started in 2013 out of a prophetic word that I was given out of Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones. And we knew and we felt that there's so many people who haven't given up on Jesus, but they've given up on the church because they got too beat up in church, typically by leaders. And you think, what happened is so painful in life. But it does happen. But it's incumbent upon me, it's incumbent upon you. How do I respond to the pain in life? How do I respond to the persecution? How do I respond to the ugly that happens? Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger in the false believers. I think you should stay home. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures and concerns of all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? And who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. My goodness, the disciples, the apostles, you read the book of Acts and what they endured. And you're like, are these guys, were they eating something different? Was it all like Popeye and they're all eating spinach? How do these guys do that? And I come back to one thing. They encountered a man named Jesus. Changed everything. Everything. And I find when I get hurt by life, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, or people, I come back to and I think, well, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? And I think about what he endured for me. And it makes me grateful. It makes me thankful. It changes everything for me. When Paul was at the very end of his life, he wrote something to a young man named Timothy. He was a disciple, kind of the young man that he was raising up around him. And Paul, at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, may not have been the last letter he wrote, but it was one of his last letters. 2 Timothy 4, Paul's writing to this young man, and he's giving him some old guy advice. And Paul wrote this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, for I am already, and you won't have this one, sorry, Noah, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Where's your faith, Paul? Oh, I think he had tons of faith. He had a different perspective on life. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which is the day to come when we will all stand before Jesus and receive our reward for how we conducted ourselves in this life. Now, whether we go to heaven or hell, that's been determined. We're going to heaven. But how I conducted myself, how I treated Greg, how I spoke about Greg, how I valued Greg, how I loved Greg, even though he was so mean to me. I can pick on Greg because he's never been mean to me. My reward in the age to come is based on my conduct since I became a Christian. That's my reward. And my reward lasts forever and ever and ever. Where moth never steals, rust never tarnishes. My reward is forever. Why do these people endure? Because they understood something. It's not about my 70, 80, 90 years in this life. there's an age to come that I'm living for.
Yes.
That's how these people did it.
Yep.
They encountered a Jesus and had an understanding. It's not about this day. It's about a day to come. Yep. Paul continued in 2 Timothy 4. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me in the age to come the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you long for Jesus appearing? Of course we do. We can't wait for the day of his appearing. But this man understood something. He said, there is a day when I'm going to stand before Jesus, eyeball to eyeball, and I'm going to receive reward that day. And because that day I'll receive reward that will never perish, I'm going to conduct myself different in this life. I'm going to forgive when I get hurt. I'm not going to speak about other people when I get hurt. I'll just take it to him. How did this guy do this? Because he had a revelation of Jesus and the age to come. And my prayer for myself, in fact, could I have the prayer team come up real quick? If you're part of the prayer team. If you're new here, I always forget to do this. I'm remembering today. I truly believe with all of my heart that Paul was not Superman. That the Apostle Peter was not Superman. Maybe especially Peter. The scripture's really clear how many times Peter messed up. In the scripture, he denied Jesus 3 times, one to a little girl. Far from perfect, Peter. So what is it with these guys? They simply grew in maturity and revelation of Jesus, and they didn't quit. They didn't quit. If you're newish here, we don't usually do this. We don't hardly ever do this. But I listened to a song this week that absolutely inspired me. And I'd like to play it now. And my challenge is this. Where am I at right now in life? Where am I at in my faith with Jesus? Where am I at with my understanding of Jesus? Where am I at in life? I don't know what tomorrow brings. What about today? What about my understanding of Jesus? Noah, could you play that? And it's just 6 or 7 minutes long. I was blessed this week. How did Paul do it? He knew a man named Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. Peter, doubting Thomas, all these people, what happened? They knew Jesus. And he turned their life around. All their pain, all their struggle, almost all of them died horrific, ugly deaths, but they were okay with it because they knew there's a day coming. There's a day coming. I'll stand before him. No tears, no sickness, all wiped away. Forever you'll be with him. Never lonely, never discouraged, never isolated. You'll be with him forever. So this morning, where are you? He wants to touch you this morning. He wants to encounter you this morning. No judgment, no frown, no furrowed brow. He just loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. So this morning, do you have a need? Do you have a physical ailment? Well, I've already been prayed for 843. How about 844 today? Let's pray and believe for miracles today. This day. Because there is a day when we get healed. Why not this day? Can we all stand, please? If you're able, don't have to if you don't want to. If you don't know Jesus, today's a great day to invite him into your life. It couldn't be more straightforward. Just pray with me. Jesus, I know I need you. I need you. And Jesus, I want you. I don't even know all the implications of that. I just know today I'm aware I need you in my life. Please forgive me for my sins. All the wrongdoings, all the stupid choices I've made, the consequences I've had. Jesus, please forgive me. And I choose to believe, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. You're the King. You died on a cross for me. You rose from the dead. And now you're waiting to hear me ask for you. Jesus, I'm asking for you. Today, this day, right now. Come into my life. I surrender. I raise the white flag. Take me, Jesus. I'm yours. Help me. Change me, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If you have a physical need, a relational need, we'd love to pray with you. You can just sit and enjoy the presence of God. They're going to continue playing that, not too loud so that they can hear people praying. But just take your experience this day. If you were touched, if you felt Jesus, if you had Holy Spirit moving on the inside of you, it's available every day, all day. It's not a Sunday thing. It's every day. Jesus, help me to experience you every day. Help me to lean into you, Jesus. To pick up my Bible again. To hear about your amazing ways, who you really are. Jesus, come into my world again, into my relationship challenge, into my financial challenge, into my health challenge. Jesus, I invite you in again. Come in and bring heaven's health, heaven's life, heaven's change into me, mighty King. I thank you that you don't judge, but you set the captive free. I want to be free, Jesus. Bless this amazing group of people. We would take you into a world that needs you desperately. Help me love them beautifully. And then introduce them to my friend named Jesus. And everyone said, amen. If you want to be prayed for, come forward. We want to pray with you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.